What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's time to save. The Firestone Black Friday and Cyber Monday sale is on. Get 15% off all tires and $40 off a lifetime wheel alignment when you buy two or more eligible tires. Visit FirestoneCompleteAutoCare.com for details and more deals.
W-T-L.
It's
time!
W-T-L.
I think we got a show.
Oh yeah, we got a show.
W-T-L.
And welcome back, everybody, to WTL, Where's the Line? Nebraska's first and only sports betting show. I'm your host, Andy Klassen, joined by...
Jabron.
Oh, yeah. The Parlay Pounder.
You're right. We're back.
Yes, we are. And it feels like the studio's a little empty without old Travis Justice.
For sure. Yeah, we're all alone this week.
See if we can hold it up. Hold serve here.
Oh, yeah.
But no, he was a fantastic guest. Wasn't
yeah,
he?
That was so much fun to have him out here talking a little Nebraska-Iowa sports betting and Nebraska-Iowa football, obviously.
Yep, a lot of Big Ten football in there. Interesting take. I thought it was kind of interesting. I basically had an opposite take of him across the board, whether it was Illinois, Nebraska, Iowa.
Both sides of the fence there.
I was on the other side.
No doubt.
And that's why we had him out there. Just great stuff from old Travis.
Good stuff.
Thank you once again. Goes out to Mr. Justice.
Yeah.
Travis Creates, if you're looking for his Twitter handle.
Yeah.
Well, it's that time of the year. It's time for the final major golf major of the year, and that is the 151st edition of the Open Championship.
Yeah.
This event will be played at the Royal Liverpool Golf Club in Hoylake, England, for the 13th time. And this will be the first time since old Rory McIlroy won it back in 2014. Not surprising, Rory's on another tear here, looking to go back-to-back after winning the Scottish Open last week in dramatic fashion. Had those, birdie on the final hole to close it out.
Yep.
I mean, just ice water going
ice in his veins.
There you go.
It was a lot of fun.
He's sitting at an 8-1. Scottie Scheffler right out in front of him at a 7-1, depending where you're looking.
Yeah.
No surprises there. Those are the two odds-on favorites.
Yeah, for sure, Andy. And like you said, Rory won it in 2014 at this golf course.
Yeah.
And Ricky Fowler finished runner-up. Another guy that's on a huge tear right now, Andy.
Yep.
Those are the, you know, in my book, those are the two top challengers to Scottie Scheffler and Jon Rahm, who are number one and two in the world right now, according to golf rankings. So obviously those guys are up there. But what I want to kind of start off here, Andy, is talking about the LIV guys.
Let's do it.
There's some LIV specials that I think are really, really fun on DraftKings Sportsbook right now.
Okay.
The defending champion of this tournament right now is Cameron Smith, who went 20 under last year at this golf tournament in St. Andrews, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
A different golf course, but the same tournament. Yep. He's at a plus 275 right now, Andy, to win just in the LIV pool.
Yeah.
All he has to do is beat everybody else in the LIV pool. The next next closest guy to him is Brooks Koepka, is at a plus 350, which is, you know, he's riding high this year as well,
Brooksy.
But you never know where his mind's at. So I really like the Cameron Smith play right now because it really drops off after those two, because DJ is the next one at plus 500, and he's been really in and out this year. So I really like that Cameron Smith to just be the lowest tournament score out of the LIV pool.
That was Mr. Smith, Cameron Smith. That was his first major last year. The Claret Jug, you mentioned it was St. Andrews.
Yeah.
But he's coming into this one as an overall 25-1.
Exactly.
So, I mean, if you're looking at long shots, I like him as a long shot anyway.
Yeah, for sure.
Then you throw that little DraftKings special in there where they're breaking down the LIV guys.
Just the LIV guys, the LIV pool.
Man, that's tough to look past there.
It really is.
Take a, what did we talk with Travis Justice? Maybe drive over to the Spearmint giant rhino, just the parking lot.
Exactly.
The west one.
Get on the app. Yeah, do it. Just got to cross the river. So, no, I really like that. Talking about those LIV guys, you know, there's only two or three there with the really major chance to take this tournament down, and Cameron Smith is definitely one of them.
You really can't go wrong with old Brooks Koepka either. The current book that I'm looking at has him at an 18-1 overall.
For sure.
And I don't think you can ever – you're never too far away or out of line sprinkling a little on old Brooksy there.
Oh, for sure. And this – you know this guy, he – always gets up for majors. This is the only thing that this guy thinks about is winning majors, but so is Rory and Scotty at the same time. So I'm not looking past Brooks. I just think Cameron Smith does a little bit better overseas there, and I think Cameron Smith is the best LIV golfer to this tournament in this tournament.
What do you think of old John Rahm? This is the first time in a long time that he's north of plus 1,000 heading into not only a major, but just a tournament this year.
Yeah.
He started off hot, and then he really heated up. Now he's cooled off quite a bit. To the tune of, he's still a solid pick at a 13-1 I'm looking at, but he's not right there with Scottie Scheffler anymore or Rory like we were talking about.
Yeah, like you said, you get a little extra value out of John just because he's been a lot more inconsistent as of late.
Yep.
But, I don't feel confident enough to even to put money on him right now just because I think he has to get a couple tournaments back in the top 10, top 20, you know, to get his feeling back.
Yeah.
So I don't really like throwing a bunch of money on him for a major right now just because he's playing not as consistent as he has been. If you're going to go with a plus 1,300 as John Rahm is right now, you might as well just throw it on Rory, a guy that's on fire right now at a plus 800. It's just a lot better bang for your buck because Rory's playing so much better.
And you mentioned him. Do you want to talk a little Ricky Fowler? You know, I can never get enough Rick.
I mean, obviously I do like Ricky. He's sitting at a plus 2,500 right now to take down the whole tournament. Mm-hmm. But where I really see value on Ricky is he's at a plus 260 in top 10, Andy, which think he has a really legitimate shot to be in the top 10 of this. You know, he always kind of gets cold feet when, you know, it's coming down to the last day of a major and stuff.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I really like him to be there in the tournament. But even when you take him all the way back to top 20, he's at a plus 120. So that's still plus value for a really good golfer that we think is going to be there.
I think so.
He's going to be there at the end of the day. So if you want to do something with Ricky, on my end, I'm going top 20 or top 10, whichever way you're falling on that sword.
And he's been on fire this year.
Yeah.
Top 5, top 10 finishes, and he just got that monkey off his back a couple of weeks ago with a victory. So I think his head's right. I think this is also, you mentioned how he got second place on this tournament back in 2014. That's when he was vying for number one in the world type of rankings. Well, he's climbed the ladder back up after kind of falling off there, and he's right there, and maybe this could do it for him.
This definitely could do it for him, Andy, and he's a part of my parlay at the end of this segment as well. So stick around for that.
Well, before we get into that parlay, where do you want to go?
I want to go with a couple dark horses, Andy, and I won't spend a lot of time on these guys, but these are a couple guys that I really think have a good shot at taking down this tournament that have really, really good plus money. We're just talking about Ricky Fowler with a plus 2,500. Mm-hmm. Another guy that I like to talk about at plus 2,500 is Tommy Fleetwood.
Okay.
I just really think in a home game for the 32-year-old Englishman, his caddy knows these grounds better than anybody. Fleetwood is a solid in his iron playing trajectory. I just think he has a really good shot being the home guy here and really taking down this tournament. He's at a plus 2,500. Throw a couple bucks on him.
Okay.
The home guy, I think, has a really big advantage, Tommy Fleetwood, to take this down.
You are zigging when a lot of people that I'm listening to
there
read
up
on are zagging.
That's what I like to hear.
Why not? I'm not going to say Jabron.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm not going to go there. That's just fine. Let's see here for a kind of a an out there type of one, and I don't know. We've already talked about him. I like Cameron Young at 11.
There you go.
You know, like not too many. If people are talking about him, it's because what he did at the John Deere Classic. You know, tied in for sixth. So I think he's getting his game right, and he's just one of those guys that has struggled.
Yeah.
Down the stretch, but who doesn't? Everybody struggles down the stretch, except for the winner.
Yeah.
You
for
know
sure.
what I mean? So like some of that narrative. It's like, have you ever golfed? Have you ever tried to put together not only 18 holes, but 4 days in a row?
Yeah,
of 18
definitely
holes?
Not. Definitely
so
not.
Like, it's kind of tough for me to really pick apart some of these guys, especially knowing where my game is at.
Yeah, for sure, Andy. And yeah, like you said, if we're trying to compare us to these kind of guys, I wouldn't even try and play this golf course. Another guy, Andy, that's a little far out there, but I really, really like his chances this week is Victor Hovland.
Victor Hovland.
Just to add to this year's major championship finishes, he tied for 7th at the Masters, tied for 2nd at the PGA Championship, tied for 19th at the U.S. Open, and plus a win at the Memorial last month, and tied for 3rd in the Players' Champion. I really think he's just been there all year long and wants to punch through on one. So if you're looking at Victor at the plus 2,200 to take this thing down, I think he has a really good chance just because he's been on the doorstep of all these majors and actually has a win in the last month.
Hey, you must be onto something here. I'll give you two reasons why.
Yeah.
First off, he spells his name with a K. V-I-K-T-O-R.
V-I-K.
But on the book that I'm looking at right now, he is wedged right between Brooks Koepka and Ricky Fowler.
For sure.
And we've already talked about those two guys. So if you like Fowler, if you like Koepka, you have no reason not to like Hovland. So,
for sure.
Okay.
I like that one.
I'll buy that one from you. Got a couple of minutes here. You were talking about a parlay.
Yeah, Andy. And it's just a three-golfer parlay. I got Rory McIlroy, top five. That should be a lock. Scottie Scheffler, top 10, which... That should be a lock as well. And like we said, the outlier there is Ricky Fowler at a top 20. Those guys, Rory at a top 5, Scotty at a top 10, Ricky at a top 20. Putting 25 on this, Andy, it's a plus 850 bet, returning $237 of a $25 bet.
My God, it sounds so good.
It does sound good, doesn't it?
Like, it sounds like a lock, but I would never call a parlay a lock.
Yeah.
But I like all three of those.
Yeah.
Those are even like separate bets that, okay, maybe I don't want a parlay, but those. They won't be as great as value. It won't be a plus 800.
Yeah, exactly. Like, Rory right now is a top five, is a plus 190 by itself.
Okay.
Scotty at a top 10 is a minus 140. And then, like we said, with Ricky, a top 20 is sitting there at a plus, give me one second, plus 120. So
excellent.
If you're going to take the there are a couple plus money bets there or whatever, but if you put them all together, it's a plus 850 bet on DraftKings Sportsbook, 25 to win 237. Not a lot you're risking. These are three of the best golfers in the world, all playing really, really well right now.
I was going to say right now. And golf is definitely one of those games that's what have you done for me lately.
For sure, all these guys have done it lately.
Just like when we're measuring up March Madness, it's the teams that are hot heading in and coming in off of their conference tournament, NCAA tournament, heading into March Madness. So I like that a lot. I like that parlay a lot. And even the minus 140 for Scheffler.
Yeah.
The juice is worth the squeeze to me.
For sure. This is the guy. He doesn't get rattled. He's going to be there at the end. Top 10 is almost a lock for Scotty.
I'm not afraid of any of those. So there you have it. And there you hear it. That was the horn, meaning we're up against it. So we timed that one out perfectly.
We did.
We do got to take a minute, though, to recognize one of our fabulous partners, and that is the Nebraska Brewing Company. We've been enjoying the smooth, easy-drinking Ale Storm. See that little play on words there?
For sure.
A little pun action there?
Yeah.
Those guys have a sense of humor over there.
They do.
The official beer of Omaha's AAA baseball team, crafted with Pilsner malt and a Sterling hops, making the perfect summer baseball beer. Nebraska Brewing Company, world-class in every glass. Don't go anywhere, folks. This is WTL. And welcome back, everybody, to WTL, Where's the Line? Nebraska's first and only sports betting show. I'm your host, Andy Klassen, joined by...
Jabron.
Oh, the party pounder.
You got it. We're back.
Every single week, we are back, and back in a big way.
Yeah.
Getting back into your wheelhouse here.
Yeah.
That is UFC Fight Night. We're going to hop over across the pond once again. But should we talk about UFC's Fight Night last week and some of our hits and misses?
Yeah, for sure. Before we go to the O2, let's go back to the Apex this past weekend, Andy. There was a couple really, really good ranked women's fights, and I split on them.
Okay.
Norma Dumont versus Chelsea Chandler was the undercard fight. Normal Dumont was at a minus 140. I called that one correct. But the main event, Andy, was Holly Holm versus Silva. And, you know, I had to go with the preacher's daughter. I had to go with Holly Holm. She's a fan favorite. She's one of my favorite women fighters of all time. But I think that kind of played into the decision to a lot of bettors out there. She was sitting there at a minus 170. I took her, you know, even more on top of that to actually have the KO, which was at plus money. But Silva came out and submitted her in the second second round. So that's pretty crazy. Yeah. I think Holly Holm was on her, you know, last kick to get to another championship, and I think this ended it. So congratulations to Silva, and she's going to be riding up the rankings here pretty soon.
Yeah, yep, and she's celebrating a pretty good way there, a little tail shake there.
For sure.
You know? Yeah, I like the flair there.
You got to.
And Holm was 10 years older.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, it had to catch up to her sometime.
Yep, it was her last time. It was her last run to the championship.
I don't want to say that yet because she just signed a 5-fight contract.
Yeah.
So she's still got 4 big ones coming her way. And you know how Dana White always does.
Likes to promote her. Yep, for sure.
Promote her. But then also everybody loves the comeback story. So
yeah, no doubt.
He's going to give her more opportunities.
For sure.
If she can just hang in there. But man, getting submitted in that way, that fashion in the second round, it's going to be tough.
Yeah, all I was saying is like if she would have won this fight, she would have been on the doorstep to a title fight.
No doubt.
She's going to have to go through at least 2 or 3 of these final fights to get back to a title fight, which is very hard to see coming after that performance.
Yep, you're right. So
we
alluded to it. We are talking about the O2 Arena. What an original name over there in
the United Kingdom
over in London. So the O2 Arena, UFC Fight Night. We've got a whole bunch of Europeans here up and down the card. Then that's to be expected. You know, that's Dana White being a really smart CEO.
Yeah, no, he lines them up. He makes the fights that people want to see in the venue that you want to see them. So it's a really cool thing.
It really is. And like we always give him praise, he does it right. So let's start with a ranked matchup here.
Yeah.
Paul Craig, guy out of Scotland, taking on Andre Muniz out of Brazil. So many Brazilians in the UFC. And this is another Brazilian that's a heavy favorite here at a -210 is Andre. Paul Craig, the number 9 contender in the world. That's kind of interesting, isn't it? Craig, number 9 contender. Andre, number 14 contender.
Yeah.
But Craig is the +180 underdog.
For sure, Andy. And this is a middleweight clash. Paul Craig faces, you know, Muniz, like you said. This one should be a test on whether Craig can make it to 185 pounds. This is his first time trying to make a 185 pound fight. He was bigger because if he can, he can be a big problem in this division.
Yeah.
He's a slick grappler with a huge frame, and at the lower weight, he should be more durable at this weight. However, he hasn't been throwing a softball here, Andy.
No.
Before losing by submission to Brendan Allen, which is one of the better fighters in the division, Muniz looked like the most dangerous grappler at this weight class at 185. Uh-huh.
He averages nearly 3 takedowns per 15 minutes.
Exactly.
I mean, this guy's all over.
He's a really good grappler. This is, for me, Andy, this is a tricky one to pick, especially on the ground. But given Craig's age at 35, Andy, and the fact that he hasn't made 185 before, it's hard to go with him. The pick for me is Muniz by decision, Andy. And if you go deep into those things, Andre Muniz to win by decision is at a +330 right now, Andy, which is a huge get for me.
You don't usually see that with a -210 favorite.
Exactly.
Right? Plus money like that.
Exactly. Everybody's thinking he's going to win by submission, which is at a +150. Mm-hmm. I just think Paul Craig is good enough on the ground that he's not going to get submitted. So I really like Andre Muniz by decision at a +330, Andy.
What's the over-under as far as rounds?
Yeah, give me a sec.
Because sometimes I think those are where some of the really good value is, and especially if you got a guy coming down that class like Paul Craig that's going to be defensive. And also he has a north of 50% takedown defense.
Yeah.
So I like what Craig can do.
It over under is 1.5 rounds in a 3-round fight. So
give me the over.
It's right there in the middle. It's at a -125. So that's a very good parlay piece if you would like to do that, Andy, is at a -125 at over 1.5 rounds.
All right. Should we move on up the card?
Let's do it.
Now, this is a fun one. We got to talk about the Barstool guys.
Yeah.
And rep the Barstool gals as well. And that is Molly, the meatball again. The hometown favorite.
Yep.
Taking on a gal out of Lithuania, Juliana Storenko.
Yeah.
And of course, meatball is a big favorite here. -215. I've seen so many videos, so many hypes leading up to this. And dating back the last 2 times that we've been in London, the people from England have gone 9-3 overall. Men and women have 9-3 overall. I think this is going to make it 10-3
for
right
sure.
Here.
It's probably fair to say that this bout features a piece of seriously scrutinized odd matchmaking, Andy.
Yeah.
Molly Meatball, Juliana isn't the kind of opponent that Molly McCann should be facing right now. More that the idea, you know,
get her back on track.
Get her back on track from the loss that she had. I just don't see any way Julia can win this fight. McCann, you know, she saw her, you know, dreams rising to be in title contention.
Jumped over the fence, jumped on Dave Portnoy.
When she lost Aaron Blanchfield last November. So all that kind of went poof up in smoke. So they got her back in her hometown, back in her home arena to really light that fire again and see if she can go out there and smack her up again.
Oh, she's a great personality.
Yeah,
great ambassador of the sport.
She's one that they want to have win. And This is a gravy train run.
Yeah, and she's a striker. She's a lot of fun to watch. You can see why the UFC is trying to promote her so much. So
exactly,
and also just that international brand as well. 5.7 north of 5.7 significant strikes landed.
Yeah,
per 15, like it's crazy,
and it's in creative ways too. Andy, she'll do spinning kicks, spinning back fists, all that kind of stuff. The way that you know Molly's going to win this fight is she's only at a +140 to win by KO, which is pretty crazy for a knockout line, Andy. So that is what I'm going with. Molly McCann by KO, TKO, or DQ at a +140. I think it's the best bang for your buck. It's still at plus money, and overall, that's what's going to happen. She's going to knock this chick out.
Juliana does have decent defense, but that's more of like grappling defense.
For sure.
If Meatball can keep her up and keep her in that boxing mode, I think it's going to be lights out as well. Give me Molly McCann. I like your lean there towards the knockout.
Yeah.
In a fight like this where they are really propping up McCann here for a W.
Yeah, exactly.
You got to find your value
somehow.
And
I think it might happen in the first round, Andy. So, like, if you're looking at round betting, that would be a really good as well, because I just really think that she's going to come out here, blow the top off, and winning in round one would be at a +215 right now. So if you don't like the knockout, if you think it's going to be a submission or whatever, no matter what, if it ends in round one, it's a +215 bet, which I really think is a good possibility as well.
Yeah, I would have to agree with you on that.
Yeah.
Should we move on up to the main
event? Let's go.
Another hometown hottie?
Yeah,
hero?
I guess.
I don't know. Tom Aspinall, number 5 contender, heavyweight bout here. Young man from England taking on Marcin Tybura out of Poland. So you're going to have a lot of fanfare there. Tybura's number 10 contender.
Yeah.
I know he's got some age. I know he's a little slower.
He's a
big old polar bear. He looks like a polar bear.
He is.
For goodness sake.
He is.
But, man, is he a big dog here. +330. You're looking at Aspinall with a -440, and I'm kind of surprised by that. I get it that Tom Aspinall is better across the board.
Yeah.
But he's coming off an injury. So all the headlines are, is can Aspinall get back? Is he going to come back to form? Well, if those are the questions, how can he be a -440 favorite?
Yeah, exactly, Andy. And I just kind of want to rewind it here a little bit, Andy. The last time the UFC visited London for fight night, it was almost exactly a year ago, and it was a headline bout between heavyweight prospect Tom Aspinall.
Yep.
It was hoping to break through against a top contender, Curtis Blaydes.
Yep.
And had Aspinall defeated Razor in that, he could well have been in line for a possible title shot just then and there.
Oh, I know.
So he didn't win that one, but I think they're really trying to do this with Molly and Tom here and kind of giving them both a little bit of a layup and, you know, getting these guys really to sell tickets and pop the roof off of this O2 arena. So I really think that this one is going to go Tom Aspinall's way. I really don't think
Aspinall is huge. He's a huge dude.
Yeah.
6'5". Well, what is his weight currently? 251. I mean, this is a big man.
Yeah. And like you said, Aspinall is coming off a serious injury to his knee. And over the years, we've seen multiple fighters come back from a similar injury and never be the same again. So your questions and everybody else's questions out there are really, you know,
legit,
but it's just, I think he just got too much for this guy, and Aspinall's there to win, and I think he will.
And once again, he's the younger guy, and the hometown people, like I said, have gone 9-3 the last couple times they've been at the O2 Arena.
For sure.
And I expect that trend to continue. I'd much rather bet for the hometown guy that has everything kind of in his corner versus an aging contender from Poland.
No doubt.
And I hate to put old Tibera in that, but Tibera, he even sounds like a polar bear.
Like, he does.
Like some type of breed of polar bear. Do you have any value plays or any parlay plays we could look at?
Yeah, I got a parlay play, but it's about the O2. About the England guys right here, and gals. I got Molly McCain do win by KO at +140, and I'm pairing that up with Tom Aspinall to win by KO. It's sitting at a -165 right now, so alone, Andy, that is not a great play. But both of those together form a +285 parlay, putting 25 on that to win 100. I think it's pretty good.
I really like that when you pair that down to just a two-legger.
Yeah, for sure.
Like your odds significantly go up, and you're also putting it on a couple of hometown people, and I've already told you why I really like that.
Yeah, and these guys were put at the top of this card to have knockouts, so that's why I'm going for two knockouts, Molly McCann and Tom Aspinall.
Yeah, sign me up. All right, let's take a minute to recognize one of our fabulous partners, and that is the Stock and Rod Company, an outdoor lifestyle brand for those seeking adventure. Whether it's hunting, fishing, hiking, they got you covered. Visit stockandrod.com to get your wild game on. Don't go anywhere, folks. This is WTL. And welcome back, everybody, to WTL, Where's the Line, Nebraska's first and only sports betting show. I'm your host, Andy Klassen, joined by
Jabron.
Parlay Pounder.
You got it.
All right, so we talked a little UFC Fight Night.
Yeah.
Going across the pond there, going to get back to London, the UK.
You have to.
And then we also talked a little championship, the Open Championship.
The Open Championship.
Starting today.
Over across the pond as well.
You know, and we didn't talk about some of those head-to-head matchups, but I'm telling you,
get
in your
There's
book.
Some money to be made there for sure.
It really is. And you're talking about some guys that we're talking about landing in the top five easy, you know, like locks in the top five. Like, you can never say that, but I mean, if they're going to do that, obviously they're going to have to
win their matchup.
Yep. Yeah, their head-to-head. So
for
there's
sure.
some plus money to be made there
for
as
sure.
well. Check it out. Now, let's talk a little NFL.
Everybody's thinking about it. It's right around the corner, Andy.
It really is.
Everybody's thinking about getting their draft board in. Everybody's thinking about buying the book, all that kind of stuff. So everybody's ready to talk some NFL, and so am I.
And my guys over at VSiN, you know, we've had a number of those guys on
as
guests, and they are fantastic. They're about to come out with their NFL betting season preview. That's
something that we use every single year.
Huge book. It's definitely worth the read, worth the buy.
Yeah.
But we want to talk about odds to win divisions.
Yeah.
And let's talk about the AFC South, because I think this is a curious case right here.
It is.
The AFC South, get this, has been won by the Houston Texans 6 of the last 12 seasons.
Wow.
You know that?
That's crazy half stat
the,
to me.
Half the time, I didn't think you knew that. It surprised me when I saw that. The Tennessee Titans, however, have won it back-to-back, 2020 and 2021.
Correct.
However, the Jaguars and all their wins
the emerging.
That they piled up last year, I guess,
they're
the odds-on favorites. So let's start at the bottom, work our way up.
Yeah.
Start with the Houston Texans, a team that has won the division 6 of the last 12 years. They're at a +800 in that four hole.
That's crazy, Andy. And I'll give you a crazy stat right back. The Texans have not won more than 4 games in the past 3 seasons.
Oh.
So that kind of just demolishes all of that. But, the Texans made a huge statement, Andy, in 2023 draft, taking C.J. Stroud with a second pick and then trading up to get Edge Rusher, Will Anderson Jr. While the future is bright in Houston, the present is bleak, Andy.
Yeah.
The Texans finished, like we said, with a 3-13 and tied last year with one of the worst rosters.
Yeah.
The dust is still settling from the Deshaun Watson debacle. I just think it sets up for a very similar year this year, Andy, with a 3-4 win team. That's why you're getting so much value with the +800, even though that it is the AFC South and it is kind of wide open as you look at it right now.
I don't. There's nothing to look at there for me either.
For sure.
And I really like Stroud, and I think he's the truth, or he could be.
Yeah.
But I have the same feeling with him as I have like with the last 3 or 4 quarterbacks the Chicago Bears have drafted.
Yeah.
Has a lot of potential. Can they protect him? If not, he's going to get hurt.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to be sidelined, and he's going to get the yips. He's going to throw he's going to develop bad tendencies.
Yeah.
You know, get rid of the ball too quick, whatever the case may be, or just get beat up in the pocket. So
the crazy bet that I'm seeing, Andy, with the Houston Texans is their over under on wins right now is at 6.5. And I just don't believe that they don't, that's even with the extra game added this year, still don't think that they're going to win 7 games. So
it's still a rookie quarterback.
It's still a rookie quarterback, and most of their stars are young, you know, first year guys as well. So I really like the under on that as well. If we're throwing that into the fold,
That's where I'm at with it too. How about a team that no one's really talked about since the departure of Andrew Luck?
Yeah,
that is the Indianapolis Colts, sitting there at a +600, and I mean, you don't hear about them for good reason. They just don't move the needle.
Yeah, they really don't, Andy. And the Colts have not won the AFC South since 2014 and went 4-12-1 last year in 2022.
What do you get excited about with the Colts?
Like you said, I mean, they're just like the Texans. They made the plunge, took the boomer bust prospect from Florida, Anthony Richardson, with the fourth overall pick.
Yep.
I mean, if you had questions,
that's an ultimate gamble.
Had questions about C.J. Stroud, you're definitely going to have a lot of questions about Anthony Richardson.
Yeah.
He just doesn't have the game film that most people take in a top 5 quarterback pick. So I'm not saying it's not going to work out, but right now there's not a lot of good stuff here. The only, you know, bright shining thing that they have is Jonathan Taylor, and that doesn't it always seem like that the best running backs are on the worst teams that stack up a whole bunch of stats for them, and then when it's time to pay them, out the door you go. So, offensive player of the year runner up in 2021, Jonathan Taylor. You know, he's coming back, but it's a bad cast around him. So I almost put these guys down with the Texans just as far.
Yeah, Jonathan Taylor is about your brightest, your little beacon of light there. But we're not talking fantasy top five picks here. And if we are, then sure, I'll give it to you. Another thing that they got going for him, I forgot. They have the number one podcaster out there in Pat McAfee.
There you go.
He no longer punts for him.
No.
So, I can't even get excited about their kicking game.
He used to do that for him. Just a key stat for the Colts. The Colts scored the NFL's third fewest points per game in 2022 en route to their worst finish since 2017. So they're just in a bad way. Like we said about the Houston Texans, their over-under is at 6.5 wins as well. So I have a little bit more faith that these guys could do that with a 7-win season just playing the AFC South. But I'm not going to bet on it. No way.
No, you got to find those wins. And the Colts are a team that I kind of check the box, like, no, you're W for the other team.
Yeah.
Now here, there might be some value here, and more people talk about those. And especially around here, I think a little bit has to do with Busting with the Boys.
Yeah, for
Will
sure.
Compton, you know,
they have a huge spotlight on them.
Right. That's the Tennessee Titans at a +400. And there is a path. You can see a path where they do win the AFC South. It's not out of the realm, and it's sitting at a +400. So if you like it, get after it, I guess.
Yeah, Andy, the whole thing with the Titans is they ended the 6-year streak of winning season when they ended the year 7-10 last year.
Yeah.
It's just quarterback Ryan Tannehill missed time. Their new guy Malik Willis really looked overwhelmed when he got in there. So that was the really bad thing for the Tennessee Titans. Saying that, running back Derrick Henry, still probably the best in the biz.
Right.
Still the biggest one that's going to bring the fight to you and fight for extra yards. Yes, he is getting older, but he's still definitely their best player.
No doubt.
With the Tennessee Titans, again, it seems like every single one of these teams took a quarterback, and with good reason, because they had losing seasons and need a rebuild.
They needed it.
Will Levis steps in at quarterback for Tennessee. It's a question mark as well, and he was a second round pick. He was supposed to be a top 10 pick, fell all the way to the second round. I don't know if that means anything to anybody, but I just believe the Titans have a similar problem on defense where they gave up, you know, the fewest rushing yards, but also gave up the most passing yards in 2022.
Right.
So I really think that the more and more I'm talking about this, Andy, I think it's a huge just pathway for the Jacksonville Jaguars to have a huge year.
Yeah, you kind of spelled some things out there. A couple of things. Does it mean anything that Will Levis dropped to the second round? Yeah, it meant something to 32 teams in the NFL. All 32 teams passed on him in the first round. That tells me enough. Also, you know, what's his name say? There's three kinds of lies, you know, lies, dirty lies, and statistics.
Yeah.
That's one of them right there, where you're looking at a top five, well, the number one overall rushing defense.
Yeah.
But you're giving up passing yards.
Which
people aren't even trying to run on you.
The league is a passing league, too.
Over
that's the
top.
Way it is. And I'm not going to say the Titans won't be competitive because the discipline and intelligence of Mike Vrabel, their coach, he's one of the best in the biz. He really is. But so I do believe that they are going to be competitive, but I believe they're only going to be competitive in the AFC South.
And he finally got on the bus. I saw he was on one
Yeah, he's
episode,
on the bus.
So there you go. Shout out Vrabel.
Yeah.
Stepping up and getting on the bus there.
There you
all
go.
Right, all right.
Support
all right.
The boys.
Man, we are giving a lot of shout outs to different podcasts.
Yeah.
Here. So all right, let's talk about the odds on favorites.
That let's
is
do
the
it.
Jacksonville Jaguars, a team sitting at a -165.
Yeah.
And I think this has to do with a lot of recent success, but I also feel like there is reason for pause, even though we went through the three worst.
Yeah.
Now we're talking about the best.
Yeah, Andy. And the Jacksonville won the AFC South with a 9-8 record last year, thanks to a late season surge, like you said, Andy, where they won six of their last seven games.
Tight
games. Trevor Lawrence's second year under center, but it felt like the first time that he was the guy who we thought he was. The NFL is a quarterback-driven league, and Lawrence has proved already that he's one of the young elite guys that has already said, you know, he's not a bust.
Yeah,
so,
we saw that at Clemson, and I thought he was as close to a sure thing as you could get.
Yeah.
But he's still in Jacksonville.
He's still in Jacksonville, Andy.
But somebody has to win this division.
Somebody has
it.
To win this, and I think this is kind of the X factor in the whole thing for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Mm-hmm. He now gets to throw to a wide receiver that was suspended last year in Calvin Ridley, who was one of the best receivers in the league his last year with the Atlanta Falcons. This guy gets to come back. He caught 90 balls for 1,300 yards and 9 touchdowns in 2020. This is going to be a clear-cut slam dunk for the Jacksonville Jaguars. If this guy is in your league and you're able to pick him up 5 or 6, pick this guy. He's going to be Trevor Lawrence's number one target, and he's going to score, especially on these NFC South defenses, Andy.
That is a really nice pairing, especially a Tennessee Titans defense.
For sure.
You know, they're going to be going over the top all the time.
No doubt.
Now, Calvin Ridley, listen to me. You can listen to our show. You can enjoy, subscribe, all those things. But don't
bet on
the Jaguars.
Do not bet.
And do not bet on NFL grounds. Like, they have two rules. Two rules that Travis Justice kind of laid out last week for all you people in the NFL. All you got to do is not bet on the NFL or bet on NFL grounds, whether
that's
your training room, the stadium, whatever.
Yep.
It's pretty easy stuff here. Did you know this? The Jaguars have a top 10. Actually, number 9 is where they're at as far as difficult schedule. They're a difficult schedule. So, like, they're a top 10. They're facing off. And, you know,
that's what happens when you make the playoffs, Andy. That's
right.
That's what they do to you.
Yeah. So, and that's talking about parity. But, I mean, I'll go back to somebody has to win this darn thing.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they could even win this thing at 9-11.
Yeah, exactly.
I really could see that, where they're two games under 500 and still win the division.
Exactly like you said, Andy. And a key stat that I wanted to throw out for the Jaguars right now is during the Jaguars stretch of, you know, the 6 wins and 7 games like we were talking about, Lawrence averaged over 250 passing yards, scored 14 touchdowns while only throwing 2 interceptions.
Yeah.
That's playing against some really good people down the stretch, Andy, and he was just on fire. So I really think he takes this momentum into this year, wins this. I would take these guys at a -150 any day in this division. Give me the Jaguars. They're taking it down.
The squeeze is worth the juice there. And the
no
more,
doubt.
When we talk through it there, I would have to agree, no doubt. Let's take a quick minute to recognize one of our fabulous partners, because you heard the horn. That means we're up against it. And that partner is the Nebraska Brewing Company. And we're talking about the squeeze. I'm enjoying the squeeze of the day here. It's their Lemon Rattler, and I love it. We kind of moved on from their ale storm.
Yeah.
And I think you got the cream ale over there.
I got the cold beer cream ale,
cold
Andy.
Beer.
And let's face it, when you reach for a beer at the height of your day, you're looking for a can that can crack open and knock back to kill the nagging thirst. And that is the cold beer cream ale.
Like you read it right off the label there. And that actually just won some awards. I saw that on Twitter. So good on the guys. Nebraska Brewing Company, world class in every glass. Don't go anywhere, folks. This is WTL. And welcome back, everybody, to WTL. Where's the line? Nebraska's first and only sports betting show. I'm your host, Andy Klassen, joined by
Jabron
Parlay Pounder.
You got it. You got it. We're back.
Yes, we are. And we talked a little AFC South.
For sure.
we got to give the NFC South a little love now, don't
now
we?
Now we're talking, Andy.
Yes, we are.
Now we're talking.
And this is a division that has actually had some movement due to some quarterbacks leaving the division, entering the division. You know, really across the board here.
For sure.
So, much like how we did the last segment with the AFC South, let's start at the bottom and work our way up to the favorites.
Yeah.
And this is a team that you would have thought would have been the overall favorite right after the offseason, but they were not.
Yeah.
Even before Tom Brady made his retirement speech and everything again, they were not. In fact, they were only picked to finish third in the division.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the odds makers thought, well, Tom's out for sure anyway.
Yeah.
But since that time, they have dropped behind the Panthers. They're at a plus 800. And you know what the Tampa Bay Buccaneers remind me of? They remind me of the Chicago Bulls, that first go-around where Michael Jordan quit and played baseball, and they called them they didn't call them the Bulls anymore. They called them the Steers.
The Steers. I will say that, but I mean, like, the Chicago Bulls are still one of the best teams in the NBA.
Yeah, yeah.
This is not going to be the case for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Uh-huh.
It's just crazy to think, Andy, has it really been 2.5 years since the Bucs won the Super Bowl?
Right.
It's just crazy to think
and
about
the division,
that.
Division, back-to-back years.
Exactly. Gone are the days of Tom Brady, like you said. Yep. But more in depth of that, the elite offensive line is gone and the overwhelmingly dominant defense is gone.
Yeah.
Here are the dark days of the rebuild, Andy. The offense will either be under the command of Baker Mayfield, who is on his fourth team in the last 2 years, or Kyle Trask, a third-year, second-round pick with 9 career pass attempts in the NFL.
Baker had a really good game in L.A., though, last year.
I'm
You're not sold?
Hey, I'm a huge Baker guy. I loved it when he came to Carolina, all that kind of stuff. I don't think we gave him the fair shot that he deserved. But when you're on your fourth team in the last 2 years, something's going, and it's hard to stick up for a guy.
Facts are facts.
Even when Brady was there last season and threw for the third most yards in the league, the offense still only finished in the 25th in points, Andy.
Yeah.
So, just a key stat for the Bucs right here. The Buccaneers only won one game where they allowed more than 16 points. If you can't score 16 points in the NFL, Andy, and there's no way that this offense is better than it was last year. They deserve to be at the bottom, and there's no value in this plus 550 or whatever you're seeing it at for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah, you know, we were fortunate enough on another podcast that I work on, Common Folk.
Yeah.
And we had Michael Severe on.
For sure.
And beforehand, we were talking, you know, sports junkies, we were talking sports.
Oh, yeah.
And he was deep diving into some of these metrics. And Baker Mayfield is, quote unquote, accurate. But when you dive into, like, super accurate, where you're, like, putting a ball on a dinner plate.
For sure.
He's like, no. Where Tom Brady is that.
He's the man at that.
You could be the hugest Baker guy, and I like his grit and all
he's
that
He's the man.
Stuff. Yeah,
he's
it's
the man.
A lot of fun.
A lot
Heisman
of fun.
Winner in Oklahoma and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But you're taking a significant step backwards.
For sure.
Especially at the most important position.
No doubt.
On the field, and that is the quarterback. Should we move on up the list here?
To the winner?
Yeah.
To the winner. Is that what you're talking about?
So your Carolina Panthers.
Yeah.
Ruleless
Carolina Panthers.
At a plus 400.
Yeah. I mean, obviously,
what
I'm,
do
a,
you
little,
like about
I'm a little biased here, Andy, but no, I'm just going to spill it out for you a little bit. The Panthers made the unsurprising decision, obviously, to take Bryce Young at number one with the overall first pick in the 2023 draft.
Oh, an undersized quarterback.
Exactly. You know, many QBs are tossed in the depth in totally unwanted scenarios. Uh-huh. I think Young kind of landed in a nice spot in Charlotte.
Really?
Joining Young on offense are established wideouts DJ Chark and Adam Thielen.
Not DJ Moore.
DJ Chark and Adam Thielen. Reliable tight end Hayden Hurst and a Pro Bowl running back in Miles Sanders. So I really think they did a good job this offseason in bringing these guys in to surround a rookie quarterback that's going to have some growing pains. I'm not going to say that they're the best team in the league or anything like that. I'm saying that he is the rookie quarterback that they put in the best position with things around him.
Okay.
We're talking about C.J. Stroud. We're talking about Will Levis. All these guys really don't have a lot of stuff around them right now. I think that they have a really, really good young defense, an improving defense. It's very solid right now, led by Brian Burns and J.C. Horn. So, and with the way that this division is wide open right now, Andy, with, like you said, every single team has a new quarterback or a new young quarterback starting this is a team that can grit out games with that, you know, with those older players on offense kind of leading the way for young and that really good young defense kind of keeping people in line, you know, to, you know, catch them.
Right. And aside from that last really good run from Drew Brees, you know, where they won, where the Saints won four in a row from 2017 to 2020, and then the Bucs obviously back-to-back with Tom Brady, this has been a revolving door. Like, they had a crazy stat where every year it was a different winner of NFC South. So, yeah, there is a path. I do think I did like the Adam Thielen pickup, too. They got him super cheap. A trade. And he's lost a step. He's slower. He's older. But for a 1 year, good locker room guy for a rookie quarterback, all that stuff, I do think he's a nice little second or third option. And I do think he'll help stabilize things and help Bryce Young out. So I can see some of that stuff. I still don't see him winning this division, but at plus 400, maybe you want to get a little squirrel.
I'm just saying, you know, the Panthers have a lot of upside and arguably the, you know, most of any in the division right now with the players that they have on the roster. It's just though, although I'm optimistic about the Panthers, Young has a tough precedent to overcome. The last five quarterbacks taken first overall won an average of 3.4 games during their rookie campaign, although they did not play the complete season, which Bryce Young is going to do. I don't believe Mr. Andy Red Rifle is going to start over Bryce Young.
Okay. Well, let's move on up to one of the teams that actually a lot of people think could win this division other than Jabron. That is the Atlanta Falcons. Yeah. I got them at a plus 215 right now.
Yeah. No, Andy, and you know, during the offseason, the Falcons made, you know, had many areas to address, but chose to upgrade one of their few strengths in running back and picked up Bijan Robinson, which, you know, one of the best in the biz. We talk about
football.
Him at Texas. I'm just saying, however, they already have Tyler Algier, who was one of the emerging stars of the NFL last year for them. So I just think there are many questions surrounding the second year Desmond Ritter. You know, I really, they're too young still, Andy.
Yeah.
Drake London, Kyle Pitts, these are all young players still that really haven't had a breakout. And I just don't see a breakout happening with Desmond Ritter and Bijan Robinson, the guys behind the center. Yeah. You need somebody that has won before and won in the NFL to, you know, kind of push this team forward. They got a lot of young talent, and it's good talent to see, but I just think they need a leader, and I don't know if Desmond Ritter's that guy.
Not yet, anyhow, and he hasn't shown that yet.
Yeah.
And now you're talking about winning a division. Yeah, I don't. And everybody likes Pitts, but once again, all right. Well, what have you done in the NFL?
Exactly.
You know, like you gotta show
like
me a little
bit
more.
He's like the sixth best tight end when it comes to yards or something, which is, you know, that's
not
great.
Yeah,
but
good.
When you don't have any receivers that you're throwing to, that's what happens. So, I mean, the NFL is a quarterback-driven league, Andy, and the Falcons have no proof of concept at that position since Matt Ryan has left. So their defense will be better, and as much as we are confident that Robinson will be a solid player in the league, they miss an opportunity to strengthen the positions they needed. So I think that's going to haunt them, and this is going to be a losing season for the Atlanta Falcons.
All right, well, let's talk about the odds-on favorites.
Let's do it.
That is the New Orleans Saints. They are at plus 120 right now. You're still getting plus money on them.
Yeah.
And they, like I mentioned, they won it four straight years from 2017 to 2020 until Mr. Tom Brady came into town, and he brought a lot of talent with him. Even Gronk came out of retirement again.
And they just loaded up that defense. They did everything they could. It still had Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, two of the best receivers in the league. They just had it. They did it. They slid it all in. It was great. But no, when you're talking about the NFC South, you have to talk about the New Orleans Saints. Biggest offseason move in this division, signing ex Las Vegas Raider and Oakland Raider Derek Carr.
Yeah.
This was a huge pickup for him. Yep. I think this is the best thing to get them back on track.
Yeah.
And people forget, this offense still includes Alvin Kamara and Michael Thomas, if he's healthy, and then Chris Olave, you want to say it.
Yep.
He was Pro Football Focus 13th best wide receiver in 2022 in his rookie season.
Yeah.
So this guy is going to be a breakout star. Alvin Kamara is one of the best running backs in the biz, going to help Derek Carr that much in that, you know, checkdowns and all that kind of stuff. Yep. And then if Michael Thomas is even close to the player that he used to be, remember, former offensive player of the year,
right,
Michael Thomas, they're going to be just fine.
They really are. And we already talked about how the Buccaneers, their line just kept fading once Tom Brady did make it official that he was retiring.
Yeah.
This number got even tighter when Derek Carr made the move to the Saints.
Yeah.
Here's why. Here's why, Jabron.
Okay.
I really like the Saints this year.
Yeah.
Still at plus money to win this division. They have the second easiest schedule in the
NFL.
There you go. In the NFL.
Yep.
And they got an established quarterback. I've always been high on Derek Carr. Even in his days in Oakland, I've always been high on Derek Carr. So give me the Saints. I love that plus money. And you already mentioned the weapons that Carr already has around him. Kind of similar to what he had in Oakland.
Yeah.
But I don't know if Oakland used it correctly or are at the right time.
Yeah.
I think the Saints are all over this. Even if they do goof it up, they're still going to win this South Division.
Yeah, I do believe that this is the easy money right here, especially at plus money still, Andy.
Yeah.
New Orleans Saints are the way to go. With Carr, a more capable passer than Jameis, than Andy Dalton, than Taysom Hill, sliding under center, I just think it's going to be a knockout, you know, just a really good slam dunk for the New Orleans Saints. Another thing that I want to say, like you said, the Saints have an easy out of division schedule, only headlined by the likes of Jacksonville that we weren't, you know, crazy high on.
Right.
But who else are you going to pick in the AFC South?
Yep.
The Detroit Lions and the Minnesota Vikings, who we've already talked in earlier podcasts, which we think the NFC North is down as well. And those are probably the two best teams in it. So those are their headline matchups. So I really like the New Orleans Saints. I think they're going to win the division. I think they're going to be in the playoffs. It pains me to say that. I think Carolina is about 1 to 2 years away.
Right.
But give it to the Saints, especially at plus money. That's a bet to make.
I believe it is as well. You can get it on the Saints right now, still at that plus money. And I feel like we agreed just a little too much.
Just a little bit.
Over this last segment. I thought you were going to throw a curveball at me with your Carolina
Panthers. I'm still putting money on plus 400 for the Carolina Panthers. Get me wrong. Those are my Panthers, and I will root for them till the day I die. But if you're going smart, put some money on that plus 120, 125, 130, wherever you can find it for the New Orleans Saints. They're the slam dunk pick here. And
well put. And the smart money is on the Saints. That's
for
why
sure.
That number is going down, especially since the acquisition of Derek Carr.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that'll do it for us this week. Be sure to follow us on ESPN Tri-City Radio on their Facebook.
Yeah.
And then also on our Twitter handle there and our YouTube channel. That is continuing to grow. We are just a couple subs away from reaching that 2,000
mark.
We're
right there.
And I got to thank everybody
for
hopping on board. That has been so much fun, and we do it for you guys. That's what we make those shorts for, add the music and all those graphics and the fun
it's
stuff.
It's just fun.
We also got those daily free picks over on TikTok
for
all you TikTokers out there. For Jabron, the Parlay Pounder, I'm Andy Klassen. Thank you for listening. This has been WTL.
Nebraska Public Media Sports brings you live all-day coverage of the NSAA High School Football Championships on Monday, November 24th and Tuesday, November 25th. Watch all day, both days, on Nebraska Public Media or live stream every game on Nebraska Public Media's YouTube channel.